The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Week's Parashas Vayetze. In Parashas Vayetze we have the marriage of Yaakov to Rachel and Leah in the Shvachis, and the birth of many of the Shvatim. I'd like to dwell this evening on the birth of Yaakov's firstborn, which was Reuben, and some of the related subjects to this. In Parshas Vayetze, Posuk Chof Terech Chof Teres Posuk Lamer Aleph. This was after the marriage of, when he married Leah. He was deceived into taking Leah, and then a week later Lavan gave him Rachel on the condition that he works another 7 years. Vayara Hashem Kishnua Leah, and Hashem saw that Leah was hated. Vayiftach Es Rachma, and he opened her womb, but Rachel Akora. But Rachel was barren. Vatar Leah Vatelet Bain. And Leah gave birth to a son. Vatikroshmai Reuven. And she called him Reuven. Ki omro, ki ro Hashem boni, ki ato yehavani ishi. Because she said that Hashem has seen my affliction, and now my husband will love me. So therefore the name Reuven is from the word Ro'ah, Hashem saw, and Bain, and therefore he gave me a son. This is the simple meaning of the name. To understand this a little better, we have to go back a bit and Pasuk Tes Zayin. It states before the marriage on Pasuk Tes Bo Vayema Lovan Liyako Vachiochi Ato. And Yaakov came to the house of Lavan. So Lavan said that just because you're my brother doesn't mean that you have to work for me for nothing. Let me know, tell me what you want for wages. Ula Lavan shtei vonais, and Lavan had two daughters. Shem Hagdola Leah, the name of the older one was Leah, v'shem Haktana Rachel. And the name of the younger one was Rachel. Ve'enei Leah Rakes, and the eyes of Leah were very Rakes, would mean something like swollen. They were very swollen. Rachel ha'isa yafas to'ar v'fas mare'ah. And Rachel, she was very, very beautiful. Then it states, Vayev Yaakov es Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel, and he said that I will work 7 years for Rachel, your smallest daughter. The Medrash brings that first we have to realize that both of these women, both Leah the oldest and Rachel the youngest, were very, very great women. We have a posuk in Rush, at the end of Rush, Perek Dalet, posuk Yud Aleph, that when Boaz took Rush as a wife, so the people said, Vayitein Hashem, ho isha habo el beisecho, ki Rachel uchaleah, asher bonu shtehem es beish Yisrael.
that this woman that you are taking into your home, Hashem should make her like Rachel and like Leah, who together built the house of Israel. So therefore, both of these women were exceedingly great. And the Medrash tells us here in Parshas Vayetze, in Perek Ayin, Os Yudalad, Ulalavan Shtevones, that Lavan had two daughters, Kishne Keres Mifuloshes Misefei Lamatsefei. The Meforshim explain the word Bones, which means a daughter, also means binyan, same thing with a ben, builders. These were not only daughters, but they were builders. Just like we have in the Pasuk of Rus that we quoted, Asher bonu shtehem es beis Yisrael. Those two built the house of Israel. All of the 12 shvatim, the 12 tribes came from them, or from their maidservants. So Shtei Bonais, he had two daughters, he had two builders, and they were like huge beams which went from one end of the world to the other. They would serve as the master structure, the master foundation of the house of Israel. Zuha Mido Alufim, Bezuha Mido Alufim. From Leah came out kings, and from Rachel came out kings, Zuha Mido Malachim, Zuha Mido Ochim. From each came out royalty. Bizu omdu horge aroyes, ubizu omdu horge aroyes. From each one came out those that were able to stand up against lions. Bizu omdu nevim, ubizu omdu nevim. From each one came out prophets. Bizu omdu sheftim, ubizu omdu sheftim. From each one came out great judges. Bizu omdu michveshe arotzes, ubizu omdu michveshe arotzes. From each one came out great conquerors of lands. Mizu omdu mechalke arotzes, umizu omdu mechalke arotzes. From each one came out great individuals that would divide up the lands, divide up Eretz Yisrael to the people. Korban benor shel zudecha Shabbos, korban benor shel zudecha Shabbos. Each one would sacrifices that would take presents and over the Shabbos. Milchamis benoz shalzudecha Shabbos, Milchamis benoz shalzudecha Shabbos. Each one would lead battles that would be Milchamis mitzvahs, battles of mitzvah, and they would take precedence over Shabbos. So therefore, both of them were very, very great. Also, the Medrash darshans here on this Poshuk, Shem HaGdola, it refers to Leah as the Gdola and Rachel as the Ktano. The simple sense is Leah was the older and Rachel was the younger. But there's another meaning also. Shem HaGdola Leah, Gdola b'matnesecha. From Leah, her gifts are going to be greater than Rachel's, longer lasting. Kuhuna, from Leah will come out Kuhuna. From Leah came, like we see a little later in the Parsha, Levi. And Levi, from Levi came out the Kahanim, Aaron and his family. And there was a Kuhuna La'elam that lasted forever. There was no hefsik, there was no interruption in the reign of the Kahanim, in the priesthood. Malchus le'olam, from Leah would come out an everlasting kingdom, because Leah's fourth son was Yehuda, and from Yehuda came David HaMelech. And once David took the throne, so it states that his household will rule forever. Diksiv Yehuda Leilam Teishev. Shemaktana Rochel. Rochel, who the younger sister, the younger daughter, Matneseho Ktana. Her gifts would be smaller. Her gifts would not be so long lasting. Yosef, she had one son by the name of Yosef. He became a king, but Lashor. But he became a king for a short while. He was the king of Egypt. And after that, he was no longer king. He or his descendants. Shaul, she had another son, Binyamin. From Binyamin came Shaul, King Saul. He became the king of Israel. Also Lashor. It was temporary, because after Shaul, after him, no longer was his family kings. Shilai Lishor. When the Mishkan came into Eretz Israel, it had a permanent dwelling place at that time, before the building of Beis HaMikdash, and that was in Shiloh. Shiloh was in the territory of Yosef, but was not forever. So therefore, also in the drosha that Leah was the Gedola and Rachel was the Ktana, is that Leah's gifts would be longer lasting, they would be forever, while Rachel's gifts would not be. Now the Gemara brings on the Poshuk, Be'enei Leah Rakes and Rochel Ha'isi Yafas Tevi Fas Mar'eh. So the simple meaning would be, it is telling us that Rochel is far more beautiful than Leah. Leah had swollen eyes, while Rochel was very, very beautiful. The Gemara in Masechet Bavasra, Perek Yishneichlin, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, the Gemara comments on this. It states, it says, "V'ein Eileya Rakeis, my Rakeis." What does it mean that her eyes were swollen? Eileya Rakeis Mamish. If it's telling us that this was the anatomy of her face. After Begnus Behema Tamea Lady Barakosum, Dixiv Mina Behema Tahora Mina Behema Asheri Nana Tahora Begnus Sadikim Dibarakosum. We find that the Torah never wanted to say something bad, even about an animal, and even about an impure animal, an unkosher animal. When the Torah in one place had to write the Behema Tamea, it's an impure animal. Instead of writing a behema tamea, it wrote a behema she'enena tohora. The behema, it's an animal which was not kosher, was not pure. But it could have saved a number of letters by writing, it's a behema tamea. Why didn't it? Because the Torah didn't want to criticize the animal. It's an insult to the animal. So if the Torah, even when it comes to an animal, and even an impure animal, the Torah does not want to insult. So then how much more so when it comes to the tzaddikim, to the righteous? So why is it writing that her eyes were not beautiful, they were swollen? Elom Reblozer. So there are a number of explanations in this. Reblozer says, Shematneseho Aruches. He learns that the word Rakes comes from the word Oruch. In other words, it's missing the Aleph. Instead of Rakes, it should be with an aleph, which would mean oruch, aruchuseho, which means long, long-lasting. And this is like we mentioned before. It comes to tell us that her gifts are going to be long-lasting. Actually, the Marsho, there in Masechta Baba Basra, he asks, but then it should say that chosar aleph, see, it's missing an aleph. And the Gemara doesn't say that. So how do we learn from the word rakes, oruch, long lasting? So he says what the Gemara means is the Gemara in Perakashut Pin, in the beginning of Baba Basra, where it uses the word reko, low reko, but lebareko. Reko in Targum, It might not even be a Targum word. The Gemara brings means someone who is noble, someone who is great, very choshuv. So that's what the Gemara is dashing from the word rakes, and it means that she will have many long-lasting noble gifts. Then Rav Amar La Elam Rakes Mamash. Rav says no. Her eyes were not pretty. But Belegin Ayhula Elashvachula. But this is not an insult to her. This is not an insult. This is a praise to her. Her eyes were not pretty because she was crying all of the time. Because she used to hear the people talk, and they used to say, "Shnei bonim yesh lo Rivka, shnei bonim yesh lo lover." Rivka, who was Yitzchok's wife and the mother of Yaakov and Esav, was the sister to Lavan. So the people used to say that Rivka had two sons, and Lavan had two daughters. A little more explanation in this, which I believe the Marshal brings, is that we see by Abraham, when it came to marry off his son Yitzchok, he was very makpid. He was very demanding that Yitzchok should go, and Eliezer should represent Yitzchok and go back to his own family. He wanted to make the shidduch with his own family. So people said, so the same thing with Yitzchok and Rivka, when they will marry off their two sons, they will want to make it with their same family. Therefore, they will make the shidduchim with Lavan. And now Lavan had two daughters, and Rivka had two sons. Therefore, Lavan, G'day Legodl, K'tan Lekotn, the oldest son will marry the oldest daughter, and the younger son will marry the younger daughter. Therefore, Esav will marry Leah, and Yaakov will marry Rachel. The Medrash is brought that this was even written in the Tanoim. The Medrash writes that Rivka kosav kein kosva b'Tanoim with Lavan. They had already decided this. And the older one would go to the older, and the younger to the younger. So she would go amongst the people, Leah, and she would ask the older son of Yitzchok, "What is he like? What does he do?" And they would answer, "Isha de'atzayitu, malastim brios. He was a hunter, and he was a gangster. He knew how to hold up people and steal from them." Cotton Mamasov, and then she would ask the younger one, "What does he do?" "Ishtam Yeshiva Oli." "Oh, he's a very, very upright, honest person of perfect integrity, and he dwells in the tents of Torah." "Vaisaboch Becho." And she would weep over this. "Achanoshru Risei Neho." Until her eyelashes started to come out, and her eyes became so swollen. Now, this is what is mentioned. Vayar Hashem kishnua leo. This is what is mentioned when it states that Hashem saw that Leah is snua. Not that she was hated by Yaakov, but Hashem saw that she was snua my snua ilema snua mamash. If you say this means she was hated, again we have the same question. The Torah doesn't write such things about people. Hashem saw that the deeds of Esav was hated in her eyes. So what does it mean that Leah was snua? That the deeds of Esav were hated in her eyes. Therefore, vayiftach es rachmo. And therefore, he opened her womb, and she conceived, and she gave birth. So this is one explanation in what does it mean
that Rachel was a korah. It writes, Rachel that Rachel was barren, but Hashem saw that she was hated, Leah was hated, and therefore he opened her womb. Not that she was hated, but that the deeds of Esav were hated in her eyes. This is one interpretation. Medrash brings further interpretations in this, though. Incidentally, the Medrash brings, and this posuk in Os Tes Vav, that from here we see the power of tefillah, the power of prayer. Omar Rapuna, koshi tefillah shebitlo esakzeda. If it was already ordained that Leah should go to Esav and Rachel to Yaakov, so how did Leah end up with Yaakov? So from here we see the power of tefillah, that it can change even the decree. V'le'aid eleshekodma la'achesu. And not only it changed her decree, but she married Yaakov even before Rachel married Yaakov. So from here we see the great power of tefillah. There's a further interpretation in the Medrash Rabbah, and this is in Perek Ein Aleph, Os Beis. What does it mean she was snu'ah? Another interpretation is that, no, actually, she was hated by people. Hoya hakol sainting bo. People all spoke against her. Meforshe yamim hoya sainting bo. Mahalche drochim hoya sainting bo. Travelers would speak against her. Sailors would speak against her. Afagatiois ma'achuri akerim hoya sainting bo. And even those that would work in the olive press, the women that would work in the olive press or the wine press, would also speak against her. And they would say, Leah zu ein shisra kegluya. That Leah is not like she appears to be. Mirois tzadekes, she appears to be righteous. Ve'ena tzadekes, and she's not so righteous. Ilo hayesa tzadekes, lo hayesa merama ba'acheso. If she was so righteous, then she would not have deceived her sister. In other words, she would have not have listened to her father. Father gave her to the chuppah instead of Rachel and deceived Yaakov. She would have done this. So, a second interpretation is that yes, snu'ah, she was not liked, and this was by all of the people, for the act that she had committed. There's another interpretation, also in the Medrash Rabbah, and this is Kipshuta, the simple sense, that she was actually hated by Yaakov. Why was she hated by Yaakov? Because he deceived her. It states in Parshas Ayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Oshud Zayin, V'chol ahu lailo havatzavach lo Rachel. Yaakov knew that Lavan was a Ramai. He was a man of deceit. And this is why he said, Rachel bitcho ketano. I will work 7 years for Rachel, your daughter, your youngest daughter. He spelled it all out, to leave no room for deception. He said, Rachel, maybe you'll bring me another Rachel, Rachel, your daughter. Maybe you'll bring me your older daughter and change her name to Rachel. He says, Rachel, your daughter, your youngest daughter. But still,
He was deceived. Now that night, it states, he had given Rachel certain signs. And Rachel would give Yaakov those signs. And then he would know it was her. Meanwhile, when Lavan came to make the switch, so Rachel did not want her sister to be embarrassed and humiliated. And when Yaakov would find out at the last minute, he refused to marry her. And meanwhile, they had made a big party at state, said all of the people came around. And all of the people were interested, incidentally, why did Lavan want to deceive him? The simple meaning would be, yes, because he could get another 7 years of work out of him. Now there was a deeper meaning, because Medrash brings that where they lived, they were very short of water. And when Yaakov came, it was the quality of the tzaddikim, of the oves, and the imos, when they used to walk up to a well, like we mentioned a few weeks ago, the water would rise up. So ever since Yaakov came to this place, all of a sudden there was a broch of mayim. And water is a water, when you're short of water, there can be no greater brocha than mine. So therefore he was very beloved. Now that the 7 years were up, they were afraid he would marry and leave. So the tactic was to try to delay him. And they made a very, very big party. And all the townspeople came. Because he was so beloved, he had brought water to the area. So she was afraid that her sister would be humiliated, and she wanted to save this humiliation from her sister. Therefore she gave the signs. And Yaakov, in order to make sure he kept that whole night, he would keep calling Rachel, the Anyalo, and she would answer him. She would say yes. And this was Leah. Safra, bihinehi Leah, in the morning, became light. And he saw she was Leah. She became very, very angry. Omaleir my Ramaiso Bas Ramo. And Yaakov was the Ishtam. He was the man of great honesty and integrity. And he became very angry. And he says, you are a deceiver, a daughter of a deceiver. Why did you lie to me the whole night? La Balaila Vakarina Rochel Vat Anisale. Didn't I call you the whole night, Rochel, and you answered me? So she answered him something very clever, but that didn't help the situation. She said, when your father wanted to give the broches and he called out Esav, what did you answer? Didn't you answer that you were Esav? Mm-hmm. So this is where I learned it from. Mm-hmm. That when you called out Rachel, I answered, yes, Rachel. Mm-hmm. At any rate, so another interpretation is Snua. Yaakov hated her because he held that what she did was an unforgivable act to deceive him and to stand in the way of the marriage between he and Rachel. See, and was something she should have never done. So he hated her. At any rate, this is what it means, Kisnua. She was hated. She had Esav on one side of her. She was afraid she'd always fall into the hands of Esav. And she had the people all talking against her on another side of her. Because it became a known fact all over that she had done such a thing. She had deceived her sister. She deceived Yaakov, and she stood in the way of her sister marrying Yaakov. And now she became hated to Yaakov also. And Yaakov was thinking of being Megarish. He was thinking of divorcing her. Now this even put her into a greater fix, because she felt that if Yaakov would be Megarish, would divorce her, she would now fall again to the Gorel. She would fall into the hands of Esav, and Esav was waiting for her. He was waiting. So what happened? So now the Torah tells us. It states, "Vayar Hashem kisnua leo." Hashem saw all of this. He saw all of this hatred.
Vayiftach es rachma v'rochel akoro. And he opened her womb, and Rochel was barren. Vata Lea, and she conceived, vatelet bein, and she gave birth to a son. Now this son was an enormous tshua. It was an enormous salvation to her. Because when she gave birth, firstly, she gave birth before Rochel. That's why the Torah tells us Rochel was Akora. She gave birth before Rochel. Not only she gave birth before Rochel, the Chazal tell us, the sages tell us, she gave birth immediately. She felt pregnant immediately. So once that happened, and Rochel was barren, so firstly, the people started to say that she must be a tzaddikus. Because if she has conceived so quickly and given Yaakov a son, and meanwhile Rochel has not, this is a sign from heaven that she is his zivuk. She's his worthy and true wife. And then Yaakov said, see, the Medrash brings, that once he saw that, so he said, first he had held, Elohesa tzadekes loya marama ba'achesa, if she was so righteous, she wouldn't deceive, go through all of this. But then he said, kiven shepokta kodesh bochu bebonim, once the first son came, and then even others came, can I send away, can I divorce the mother of these children? So therefore he had made up his mind that he will not send her away. From there came, was she was relieved from Esav, who was waiting like a wolf for this to happen. And eventually Yaakov himself came to the conclusion that if she was not supposed to be his wife, then she would not be giving him children, and Rochel not. And it states, "Besef hu meida haladover." In the end, he agreed, as it states, Yaakov in his older age, in Pashas Vayechi, when he was sick, it states, "Vayishtachu Yisrael areisha mito," that Yaakov bowed to the head of his bed. Mihu reish mitosei shel Yaakov avinu lelea. Who was the head of Yaakov's bed? That was Leah. So even Yaakov had agreed. So therefore, when Reuven was born, this was an enormous simcha to her. See? This solved all of her problems. And therefore, she decided that she must name him after this miracle. So she said, Ro Hashem be'onyi, Hashem saw my affliction. And therefore she called him Reuven, from the word Ra, and Bain, he gave me a son. And now my husband will love me, and he will not send me away. Now Reuven became the firstborn. He was the firstborn of Leah, and he was the firstborn of Yaakov. Like it states, we have later on a pasuk, Reuven b'chor Yaakov, he's the firstborn, and in Parshas Vayechi, Reishis Eini, Reishis Kechi, he was the first of my seed. And because he was the firstborn, so therefore he originally inherited certain gifts. In Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov is blessing the sons, see, he blesses, this is on Memches Gimel, so he blesses Reuven and he says, yes, it says, the yes, it was. And he was given three gifts, besides being Reishis Kechi, the Reishis Eimi, that he was my firstborn. But because of this, he was Eicha to two other gifts, yes, it says, the yes, it was. Se'es is from the word Nesias Kapayim, to lift up one's hands. The Kuhuna originally went to Reuven, the priesthood. Oz is strength, that's the Malchus. The kingship originally went to Reuven. So all of these gifts were showered on Reuven. He was the firstborn, priesthood initially went to him, and the kingship. And this Rashi brings in Parshas Vayechi. Now, since he was the firstborn, and it's the duty and responsibility of the firstborn, he's called the Godel Habayis, the oldest of the household, the oldest of the sons. So it's always his duty to protect the household and to lead. This is the task of the firstborn. And we find that his actual birth did this. His birth protected his mother. His mother was in the throes of being divorced, and she was in the throes of falling into the hands of Esau, and she was in the throes of being talked about and humiliated by everyone for what she did. So his actual birth, Reuven, gave her all of, removed all of this from her and protected her. Similar to Rachel's firstborn. Rachel's firstborn, which was much later, was Yosef. And she called him Yosef Osaf Elokim Escher Posi, because Yosef has, his birth has protected me. It has taken away, gathered up my humiliation, because till now she was humiliated, she never had any sons. And because of this, we find that Reuven, during his lifetime, is spoken about by the Torah, by the sages, for two acts, of which he put himself forward and he showed this leadership and responsibility to the rest of the family. But one is criticized severely, the other is praised. What were the two acts? In Parshas Bashlach, Lamed Heichov Beis, after the death of Rachel, Yaakov had all of his sons now, except Binyamin. All of the sons were born in the house of Laban, outside of Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of Binyamin. After the birth of Yosef, who was the next to the last son, that's when Yaakov said, it's time for me to leave, let's go back now to my father's house. The Chazal say, because once Yosef was born, he was no longer afraid to confront Esau, who was waiting for him. So they were all born outside of Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of Binyamin. And then the Torah tells us that as they were returning to Eretz Yisrael, and when they went into Eretz Yisrael, Rachel gave birth to Esau, to Binyamin, and she died in childbirth, and she was buried al haderech. She was buried before they came into a city. Then the Torah tells us right after that in Perek Lamei Posuk Chov Beis, Vayhi Bishkein Yisrael Boretz Ahi Vayelech Reuven Vayishkav Es Bilo Pilegesh Aviv Vayishma Yisrael. While they were at that place, Reuven went and he laid with Bilhah. Bilhah, it's referred to here as a concubine of his father. Bilhah was the maidservant of Rachel. And he went, and it would seem from the pasuk that he took Bilhah, he had a union with her. And this was his father's wife or his father's concubine. Vayishma Yisrael,
And Yisrael and Yaakov heard about it and was very upset about it. Then immediately afterwards, next pasuk it states, "Vayivan Yaakov shnei mosor." The children of Yaakov were 12. And starts to count them. Bnei Leah starts to count first the sons of Leah. Bechor Yaakov Ruvein, the firstborn of Yaakov is Ruvein. Then it goes on to the others. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos. In Perek Bamer Be'ema, Daf Nun Hei Omed Beis. The Gemara says, Omer B'Shmul Banachmeni Omer Menesen, Kol Eime Reuven Choto, Ein Eleteya. Whoever will say that Reuven committed a sin, it seems he committed a very grave sin, he took his father's, one of his father's wives, is Teya, is making an error. Shenemar, as it states, Vayihu b'nei Yaakov shnei mosor, malamed shekulim shkulim kachas. Because immediately afterwards it tells us, and the children of Yaakov were 12, and Elis Ruvain, and then Rashi in Chumash says, also, it says, Bechor Yaakov, the firstborn of Yaakov is Ruvain. So it counts him evenly amongst all of the others, to tell us, kulam tzadikim, they were all righteous. But it does say that in the pasuk, "Melamed shebilbel shevalvel metzoy shel oviv." Now he did not do such an act. What he did do is he took Yaakov's, his father's bed. His father's bed was in the tent of Bilhah after the death of Rachel, and he removed his father's bed from that tent and he moved it to his mother's tent, to the tent of Leah. Now since he went and he interfered in the relations between his father in one of his father's wives, Bilhah, Mala Lavakosim Ki Lushochabimo. So the Torah castigates him as if he committed adultery. You step between a man and his wife, that's a degree of adultery. And the Torah castigated him as if he committed adultery with his father's wife. Tanya, Reb Shimon Lozer Emer. Reb Shimon Lozer says, I'll bring you a proof to it. Later on, when his children, Reuben's children, were going to come into Eretz Yisrael, so they were going to stand on Har Abel. And they were going to say, cursed is the person that will take his father's wife. And everyone answers, Amen. How is it possible that his children will pronounce a curse on such a thing when their own father has done it? So what? What happened? So the Gemara tells us the story. El bein imay tova. He being the firstborn, he wanted to stand up for the kovod, for the honor of his mother Leah. And Reuven, he became very, very angry after the death of Rachel. Because Rashi mentions here, he says that Yaakov, well, there's two versions, but one version is Yaakov had his permanent dwelling place in the tent of Rachel, not by the others.
The others he would visit, but his permanent dwelling place was in the tent of Rochel. And this always was a great sorrow. This was a great pain to Leah, because Leah was his other wife. But Reuben understood this. Rochel was Rochel. But then when Rochel died, Reuben had expected that his father would move his bed and make his permanent dwelling place now by Leah. Instead, he went to the tent of Bilhah, to Reuben's handmaid, to Rochel's handmaid, and he made his permanent dwelling place there. And Reuben, especially being the Bachor, he became infuriated with this. And he said, Imaches imi hayisatzor li'imi. Shivchas aches imi teitzor li'imi. If my mother's sister was a constant source of agony to my mother all of her life, now even my mother's handmaid, my mother's sister's handmaid, also has to be this constant source of agony to my mother. And therefore, Omar Ubilbe es Matzo. Therefore, he got up and he went into the tent, and he took Yaakov's bed and he moved it into his mother's tent. That's one version the Gemara brings. Acherim Ayvrim, another version the Gemara brings, Shtei Matzois Bilbel. It uses a plural. Later on, when in the Broches, in Vayechi, which we mentioned before, when Yaakov is blessing his sons, so he actually severely criticizes Reuben for this. And he says, Os chilalto yitzui alo, that you desecrated my bed and you desecrated what went up on my bed. And he refers to the Shechino. So shtei matzis bilbo, achas shel Shechino v'achas shel Aviv. So Rashi brings, Kacho Yaakov Eisev, ba'arba ole noshov, mami mito l'shechino, that in all of the four tents of his four wives, Yaakov used to leave an extra bed. And that bed was for the Shechino, for Hashem. Uba'esa ehel shu'ureya bei Hashechino, hu bo v'lon esa alaylo. And when Yaakov would see, he could tell what tent the Shechino Hashem went into that night. That's the tent he would go into. Rashi brings, because before the building of the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, the temple, Shechino Metzuyah b'Olei Tzadikim, the Shechino would dwell in the tents of the righteous ones. So Yaakov said, not only did you upset my bed, but you upset the bed of the Shechino also. Now, there's another version in the Gemara that disagrees with this, but these are the major versions that are brought. That kala eimer Reuben taya, Reuben chayta ein elataya. That whoever says that Reuben sinned, no, he's making an error. He never did such a thing. What he did was something far different. But still, Yaakov in the Torah holds this as a very, very serious avera. Very serious avera. And it states that Kodesh Baruch Hu is don im svivov kechut asaro. He judges those who are close to him with the exactness of the breath of a hair. So therefore, Reuben was criticized and he was punished as if this is what he had done. The punishment he received for this was very severe. Besides the fact that the Torah writes it in this way, but Yaakov, his father, told him. He said, "Yes, it's a ace, but yes, it's oz. You had three matonas. You had three gifts. You were my firstborn. Reishis keichi, reishis eini. You were to get the nesias kavayim, the kohuna, and you were to get oz, the malchus. Now, the kohuna, he says, was taken away from you. Priesthood was taken away. It wasn't given to Shimon, because Shimon had another problem, so it was given to the third son, Levi. The malchus, kingship, was taken away from you, and that was given to the fourth son, Yehuda. And even the Bechera, even your firstborn birthright, not all of it, but part of it was taken away. And that was given to Yosef. This was given to Yosef. And this the Gemara brings in Bava Basra, where we mentioned before, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. The Gemara brings it states Ubenei Ruven Bechor Yisrael, the firstborn of Yaakov was Ruven, but Bechilalo Yitzuya Aviv, this is a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim, but because he desecrated the bed of his father, Nitna Becheirose Levenei Yosef Ben Yisrael, it was given to the children of Yosef, but not that Yosef became the full firstborn. The Rashbam here learns, and Rashi and the Posuk Bechor learns, that Reuben still was the firstborn in regards to many things, but in regards to many other things, the firstborn birthright was given to Yosef. Now, we could ask here that two questions. Firstly, what did he do so wrong, though? And secondly, it was because of this, his firstborn birthright was taken from him and given to Yosef. What did Yosef have to do with this? Why was it taken from him and given to Yosef? The Mashal in Masechet Shabbos explains this very well. He says, firstly, see, because we would say that he has a very good case. If Rachel, my mother's sister, was the constant thorn in the side of my mother, does the maidservant of Rachel also have to be? So firstly, in a shiur that we gave, I believe it might have been on Parshas Vayetze last year, we explained that the maidservants were no longer maidservants. And this was brought from sources in Chazal and the Rishonim. Because we have a question, Akasha. If the maidservants were actually slaves after they married Yaakov, then the sons would be slaves. States for Isha, Ublodeho Tialadoneho. The halacha, the law is that a person who takes a slave and has children from her, the sons are slaves. How is it possible that the sons can be slaves when these are the Yud Beis Shvatim, these were the 12 Shvatim, that from here was the foundation of the Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel? And therefore, when these maidservants were given from Rachel and Leah, they were owned by Rachel and Leah because Lovan had given them to them, when they were given to Yaakov to take, they were not only to bear children, but as a wife. And therefore, she was meshachar them. She freed them. So now it was a full-fledged wife. It seems, though, that this was not always clear by the sons. We find later on that one of the criticisms that Yosef had states that Yosef was meitzi dibaro, he brought Loshon Hora and his brothers to his father. One of the Loshon Horas is that they called the children of the maidservants avodim, slaves. See, it seems that this was not so clear by all of the sons, though. And some of them felt that, no, the sons are slaves. So perhaps Reuben felt this. That's why he said even the maidservant has to be a thorn. But in reality, she was not a maidservant. She was the full-fledged wife of Yaakov. So therefore, how can someone go between a man and his wife? Here he's stepping in between them. And this the Torah looks as to, especially to someone in Reuben's stature, as a degree of adultery, say, interfering between a man and his wife in their lives. Perhaps, I'm not sure, but perhaps it states, see, it states in this posuk, it states, Vayishkaf es Bila Pilegishoviv, calls her Pilegishoviv. Pilegish means a concubine. Maybe that is to be Malamet Zchus, to give us a little of the perspective from Reuben's side. See, to Reuben, she was a concubine, but in reality, she was not. But further, further, the Mashal says, is that why? Why did Yaakov, why didn't he go to Leah after the death of Rachel? While Rachel was living, that, as we'll see in a minute, that was his main wife. But now that Rachel died, why didn't he go to Leah? She says the answer to that was, this was lichved Rachel. This was in honor of Rachel. The sages tell us that Akeres Habayis was Rachel, his main wife, and the foundation, the cornerstone of the house was Rachel. And in the pasuk that we quoted from Rush, when they said that this woman should be to you like Rachel and Leah, that Mishteyam Bonu as Beis Yisrael, from these two they built the house of Israel. You notice they said Rachel first, even though Leah was married first, and Leah was the oldest. And who was saying this? These were the people of Boaz. And Boaz was from Yehuda. And Yehuda is from the sons of Leah. So this is up in the Leah. Even the children of Leah had to admit to this. That the full-fledged wife of Yaakov was Rachel. Because Kol Atzmai Leil Bola Lovin, the whole purpose why he came to Lovin was for Rachel. And the whole reason why he worked there was for Rachel. And this that he ended up with Leah was through deceit. And further it says in the Torah, in Parshas Vayeshev, Elu told us Yaakov, Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef. It should say, Elu told us Yaakov, Reuven. It should say, these are the generations Reuven. So you see, because Yaakov always considered Rachel is his full-fledged wife, and therefore her firstborn, which was Yosef, that's his. So, this is why he always showed that honor, and his permanent dwelling place was with Rachel. After she died, he wanted that honor to remain. He didn't want her to lose that honor. Because here she died, now he'll go to Leah. And he wanted it to be known. So how could he do this? He moved his permanent dwelling place to Bila, which initially was Shifchas Rachel. That was the one that Rachel gave to Yaakov. So this was all for the sake of the honor of Rachel. And this is what Reuben was stepping in between. And this is why Yaakov became so angry. He was minimizing and insulting the honor of Rachel for the sake of his mother, which Yaakov tolerated. And this is why Yaakov became very angry at it. Reuben was angry and Yaakov was angry. And the fact is, in the Brachos, so when in Vayechi, so Yaakov points this out, where he says, he says, Pachas kamay maltesar ki aliso mishkevei avicho. Your anger flowed like the rapids of water You let your anger carry you away. And if you would have thought and gone into it, you would understand what I'm doing. See? Now, this also answers for us now why, because of this act, Reuben was punished, and he lost the first, the Bechera. He had the total firstborn birthright to begin with. And at the same time was given to Yosef. We asked, what does Yosef have to do with it? Just because Reuben was punished, so therefore why did Yosef end up with it? He returned that kovod, that honor to Rochel. The whole reason why he always dwelled in the tent of Rochel was to show that this was the reason why he... It was even through Rochel that he married Leah. And he wanted that honor to remain even after the death of Rochel. And it's this what Reuben tried to destroy. So therefore, he gave Rochel that honor by showing the world that my firstborn is Yosef. And therefore, he took the Bechera from Reuben and he gave it to Yosef. This is what the Mashor writes, and this is very, very beautiful, very beautiful interpretation. Now, the Medrash also tells us that this is why it tells us for Rachel Akoro. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard all of her agony, that she was hated and so on for whatever reason it was. But Rochel HaKoro, why does it tell us right there Rochel HaKoro? Because really Rochel was the one who was supposed to give birth, because she was the first wife, she was the first and foremost wife of Yaakov, and she was supposed to give birth, and the firstborn was supposed to be hers. It was supposed to be Yosef. But Kodma Leia Barachamim. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Rachmonis on Leo, and he wanted to give this cover to Leo in order that she could remove from herself all of this hatred that was going on about her, so that's why it says for Rochel HaKoro, he kept Rochel back from giving birth, and he gave it all, and he gave it to Leo. But really, it had, should have gone to Rochel, to Rochel. Now, the second episode that we find that Reuben came into the forefront to exercise this leadership of a firstborn, we said the first one turned out not good for him. The second one turned out very, very good. This is in Parshas Vayeshev. Parshas Vayeshev, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches Chof Aleph, Yosef was coming, Vayirei Se Marachek, and the brothers saw him coming, Vayishnakle Se Lamisoy. And they had all of their complaints against him. We've given very long shurim on that. And they decided that they must kill him. Let's kill him, and then we'll throw him into one of the beiris, we'll throw him into one of the pits, and we'll tell our father that a wild animal ate him. States Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilehu Miyodom. Reuven heard this, and he saved them. Vayema Leina Kenan Ofish, do not hurt him. Vayema Alehem Reuven Al Tishbuch Odom, do not spill his blood. Hashlichu Eisoi Elabor Azeh Asher Bamidbor. Do not spill his blood. Rather, just put him in the pit and let anything happen to him. Yod Al Tishlichum Vay. Do not touch him. Now the Torah testifies, L'man Atzil Eisoi Miyodam Lashiv Al Ovib. Why did Reuben say that? What's the difference if you kill him with your hands or you throw him into the pit in the middle of the desert and he's going to die anyhow? he did this, the Torah testifies that this was a plot in order to save him. He would come back afterwards and let him out. See, here we see Reuven is the one who saved Joseph. Why did Reuven? No one else stood up but Reuven. Why did Reuven stand up for him? So the Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings it. Reuven said, he says, I have to stand up for him. Because Ani Bechor, V'Godol Shebekulam, I am the firstborn, and I am the oldest. I'm responsible, and I have to assume responsibility. And if anything wrong goes wrong, I am the one to blame. Therefore, I have to stand up and I have to save him. This act, although the Torah, it's just in a few words here, this act was an enormous act. And the sages, praise this act enormously. Don't forget, all the brothers were there, and they had decided, and this was not just something responsive. So they had decided, and they had a whole reason, and they had good reasons, and still Reuven stood up against them. And the Medrash Rabbah and Parshas Nosei, Perek Yud Gimel Eish Yud Zayin, when he brought his for the Chanukah HaMishkan, for the dedication, there it darshans everything that he brought. It was all a praise for this act. He brought gold because what he did was like gold. And it says that he did two great things. Firstly, he saved Joseph from being killed. But secondly, it says he saved his 9 brothers from becoming murderers. There were two great tragedies. Joseph would have been killed, and the 9 brothers would have been murderers. It says he saved Joseph from becoming killed, and the 9 brothers from becoming murderers. And the Medrash Rabbah in Rus, in Parshas Hay, Osvov, near the end of Osvov, when Boaz came to Rus, Rus had come to his fields. Boaz just knew that she had come back from Moab with Naomi, and he heard about her great chesed. So he came and he said, look, you take what you want from the field, and don't leave my field, and I'll instruct all of my people then not to harm you. And if you're hungry, you come and you eat something, and if you want to drink, you take to drink. This is what he told her. So the Medrash brings here, HaKosav Lamdecho, Bo HaKosav Lamdecho, Shimodim Eisim Mitzvah Yasena B'Lev of Sholem. When a person does a mitzvah, he should do it with a full heart. Many times we do mitzvahs, and we don't think that they're so important, and therefore we do it with a left hand. See? He says, no. Medrash tells us, you don't know how important a mitzvah is. At this time, Boaz didn't feel he was doing something so wonderful. The poor girl, she did wonderful for Naomi, so what am I doing? Stay on my field and take what you want. Now, when a person goes and he does a mitzvah, he must do it with a full heart, because he doesn't always realize what he's doing. And it says like the Shiloh HaYaruven Yodea Shakorish Borchu Machti Volo Vayishma Ruven Vayatzileo Miyodo. If Reuven would have known that the Torah would write here a testimony, it would write this for ever, for generations. People every year say this over. They learn it. That it was Reuven that saved Joseph. And the reason why he said to throw him in the pit is in order to come back and save him. Had he known then, it says, he would have picked up Yosef on his shoulders and carried him all the way back to his father. The same thing by Aaron, it writes, that Moshe didn't want to accept to go to Paray because he was afraid that Aaron would feel bad, because Aaron was the older brother and here Moshe is becoming the leader, the king. And Hashem said, don't worry about Aaron, because he will go out and he will, when he'll meet you, he'll be samach b'libah, he'll rejoice over what you have. And the Torah writes that when Aaron came and rejoiced, he didn't think he was doing much of a mitzvah. Had he known that this would be written down in the Torah, he would have come to meet Moshe b'tupim u'b'mecheles, with musical instruments and with dance. And had Baez known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would write this down, then he would have come, and not, he would tell her to go take from the field, he would come with fat cows and meat to feed her. The Sho'ovar Kain Ribishur Desaknin Shem Reblevi. The Sho'ovar Haya Odom Eise Mitzvah Vahanovi Kesfer. It used to be that when someone would do a great mitzvah, the prophets would write it down. Aksho, but now that we have no prophets, so when someone does a mitzvah, who writes it? So it states, Eliyahu Kesfer. Eliyahu writes it down. U'melech HaMashiach V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chesem Al Yedehem. And the Melech HaMashiach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu signed testimony. So therefore, it's, the Medrash tells us that whenever someone does a mitzvah, he shouldn't look at it lightly. But he's doing something very, very great, and he should do it with a full heart, with a right hand, not with a left hand. At any rate, here we see again that this the Torah wrote down for eternity in order for us to know what Reuben did. Now, the Gemara brings in Masechet Brachos that because of this we have another dimension in the name of Reuben. The first interpretation in the name of Reuben was Reu, Ro Hashem Be'oni, and he gave me a bain. So it's from the word Ro and bain, a son. But it cannot only mean that, because if that was the case, Leah should have named Reuven, not Reuven, but she should have named him Ro'onyi. Hashem saw my affliction. Ra Hashem Be'onyi. Also, what is the Ru'u? Ru'u is the Loshen Rabbim, plural. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. So Reuven, therefore the Chazal say, she had another intention in that name. And they were all Nevi'os, they were prophetesses. She must have had another intention on that name. And the Gemara in Brachos brings on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Omer Blezo, Omer Leo. She said, I want you to see, I want the world to see the difference between my son, between my firstborn, and the difference between my father-in-law's firstborn. Who's the father-in-law? The father-in-law was Yitzchok. And who was his firstborn? Esav. See, my father-in-law had a firstborn. It was Esav. And I have a firstborn, Reuven. Reuven, I want the world to see my son, the difference. Why? Ma bein b'ni leven chomi. The ilu ben chomi, afo gav de medaito, zavne lebechiro secho. My father-in-law's firstborn, Esav, he went and he sold his birthright. Because it states, Vayimkos Becheiros Eliyakov. He went and he sold his birthright for the porridge. What does it say afterwards? Vayistam Esav es Yaakov. Later it says that Esav hated Yaakov because Yaakov took his firstborn birthright. Yaakov never took it. Esav sold it to him with a full heart. He wanted to get rid of it and he wanted the food. And because of that, it states he wanted to kill him. And then also it states, when he was deceived from the brachas, Esav told his father, now I know why you called him Yaakov, because he has the heel. He has tripped me twice. First he tripped me and deceived me to take my firstborn birthright. When did he deceive? Yaakov never deceived Esav. It was a clear sale. Everything was above board. V'ilu b'ni, that's my father-in-law's firstborn. But my firstborn, Afal Gavdal Koche Shakle Yosef Lebechiro Seho. Yeah, Yosef took the firstborn birthright from Reuven by force. It was taken from Reuven. Because before, when Rachel had died, there was the episode where he moved the bed of Yaakov. And because of that, the firstborn birthright was taken by force from Reuven and given to Yosef. Therefore, Reuven really should have hated Yosef. And here, what do we see? Not only he had no complaints against Yosef, not only he had no complaints and he wasn't jealous of Yosef, but even Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilo Miyodom, he is the one who went and saved Yosef. The one who went and benefited from his loss of the firstborn birthright, still he exercised his responsibility as the firstborn, and he saved Yosef. So that's what's also in the name of Reuven. First of all, Ro'o Onhi, V'nosam Libein, Hashem saw my affliction and he gave me a son. And that affliction, that son is cured all of that affliction. Because Yaakov said, Imon She'elu Ani Megarish, how can I divorce the mother of these? And then he realized she must be a tzaddikus, and the people realized he must be a tzaddikus, and then the threat of Esav was taken off of her. But also, Reuven let the world see the difference between my son, my firstborn, and Esav, the firstborn of my father-in-law. That the firstborn birthright he gave away, and after that he wanted to kill Yaakov. And the firstborn birthright of my son was taken from him and given to Yosef. And not only he was never jealous of Yosef, he even went to save Yosef's life. Now, finally, the Gemara brings it, that the fact that was Nisgalgul Milsa, we see the turn of fate here. Well, Reuben was the firstborn, but because of various episodes and circumstances, so that firstborn birthright was taken from him and fell into the hands of Yosef. And we explained how. But it's interesting to note that this was all just. This was all very just and good, because the Gemara brings that really it was returning to its rightful place. The Gemara brings in again in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, the Gemara says, El Rabbi Yenison Rabbach Lekach Omar, Ruya Haiso Becheira Lotzeis Mei Rochel. Really, the firstborn birthright should have come from Rochel to begin with. Like we mentioned, the Ksiv Eila told us Yaakov Yosef. As it states that the main generations of Yaakov was Yosef, because Rochel was the main wife of Yaakov. Elisha Kodma Saleh Barachamim. But we said, why didn't it come from Rochel? Rochel was the one who should have given birth to the firstborn. So it writes, Barochel Akoro, and Hashem opened the womb of Leah. Why? Because of Rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmonos on Leah. And he wanted to save Leah from all of her humiliation and affliction. Therefore, he held back the fruits of Rochel's womb, and he gave fruit to Leah's womb. So really, it was supposed to come from Rochel, but because of Rachamim, of compassion on Leah, it came from Leah. Umitechts nius shohayis obobe Rochel, but because of the tznius, of the secrecy that was in with Rachel, Higzira HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to her. So then the Gemara goes through what we mentioned, how it was, how it first came to Leah. But then the Gemara says, what was the tznius? How did it get back to Rachel? So the Gemara explains, that Yaakov ki achi avihu, ben rifkohu. Yaakov told Rachel that I am the brother of your father and I am the son of Rivka. Actually, Yaakov was not the brother of her father, Yaakov was a nephew. Ba'alei ben aches of you. Elom alom. He said like this, I want you to marry me. When Yaakov met Rachel, he said, I want you to marry me. She says, yes, but Abaramohu, but my father is a crook. V'leyocholtelei, he won't let me marry you. So she said, he said, why do you say he's a crook? What's he going to do? So she said, I have an older sister, and he will not let me get married before her. And if he promises me to you, he'll trick you and give you the older one. See? Rachel told Yaakov this at the offset. Omar lo, so he says, Ochi vani b'ramos. He says, if your father will deal with me honestly, then ani ben Rivka, I'm the son of his sister, Rivka. If he's going to be deceitful, then I'm his brother. I'm a brother in deceit. Mora says, but how can a tzaddik do that? So it states that. It says, brings a posuk, that when you're dealing with a deceitful person, then you have to be a brother to him. Then you deal with him accordingly. So, in order to pre-warn this, at the time of the chuppah, they gave Simon, that he and Rachel had made up certain signs where he will be able to identify her, even though it was totally dark. When Lavan, at the last minute, was sending in Leah instead of Rachel, so she said, now my sister will be humiliated because she will not know the signs. So Yaakov will throw her out of the chuppah. So in order to conceal the humiliation of her sister, she gave Rachel and Leah these signs. And that's why he only knew about it in the morning and not at night. This is the tznius. What is the tznius? That she concealed the humiliation. To conceal the humiliation of someone, Rashi explains, that's a tznius. Because the word tznius, sonua, means to cover, to conceal. And if you protect someone from humiliation, this is the greatest midas hatznius, the greatest quality of tznius. And even at the cost of herself, she was prepared to protect her sister from the humiliation. So what do we see? We see that Leah was married to Yaakov because of Rachel. And now Leah had a firstborn, and that firstborn was hers, and really it should have been Rachel. Because had Rachel not done this, then Leah would have never become a wife of Yaakov. So therefore we see how it was Mizgalgal Milsa that it ended up to go back. That originally Ruya Hayisa HaBechera, the firstborn, should have come from Rachel because she is the Akeres Abayis, and Yosef was to be the firstborn. But Kodma Leia Barachamim, but because of Rachmanis of compassion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Leah. But since Leah's whole way she was able to get this is only through the help of Rachel, he takes news to Rachel. So therefore it was Chosra later on, when Reuven proved that he could not hold it anymore because of his act, it was given back to Rachel. So it was Chosalim Kemai, it went back to its rightful place. This is an explanation in Reuven. Ra Hashem be'onyi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw my affliction and he gave me this son. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.